So our subject is becoming a man after God's own heart. Who do you think of when you think of that phrase? Who do you think of? I'd like input. Why David? It's in the Bible. Okay, now I want some more popcorn about David's life. I just want to hear, when you think of David, what do you think about? Courageous? True repentance.
Brokenness.
Failure.
Patience.
Goliath.
Shepherd boy.
Faith.
Transparent.
Humbleness.
Thankfulness.
A man of praise. Just think about David's life. There's one more thing I'd like to do, just for, again, a bit of a sense of clarity. I'd like for all the married men to stand. Just take a look around, okay? All right, thank you. You may sit down. Those who are not married. Thank you. To both of these groups, thank you for coming. God has a purpose for us. We're men. And today in our life, something is captivating our heart. Something's captivating your heart. Something in your life has gotten a hold of you. Brother John Harold and I don't know, was it yesterday evening? They came up to our place for the night last night, and I'm not sure, was it last night or this morning on the way up? We were talking about, and I think one of them touched a little bit on this already, but we were talking about how some people, it seems like they're so quiet. Just don't have much to say. And you wonder, well, what's going on inside there? But in my short lifetime, you know what I've discovered? And John Harold said the same thing. He's snickering up front here because he knows what I'm going to say next. You know what you have to do? All you have to do is find the right button. And that man, that person will light up and he'll talk for hours without any notes. And the details that can be remembered and that person can enumerate on is just astounding. You get them on that subject and all you got to do is listen. So as men, as husbands, as fathers, as young men, whatever place in life we are this afternoon, I want us to be encouraged. So open your Bibles, first of all, for a opening scripture to 1 Samuel 16. And yes, we are going to talk about David and his life and perhaps branch out from that a little bit to other parts of scripture. But we want to learn some things from the life of David. 1 Samuel 16 verses 1 to 13. And this is a context where David was anointed king. And the Lord said unto Samuel, verse 1 in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now we could with profit read on there, but I'm going to ask you to flip over to Acts chapter 13, where this is once again mentioned in the New Testament. Acts 13, and we're going to read from 13 to 25. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Acts 13, verse 14. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. After that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Samuel the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, whom also he gave testimony and said, now who is speaking? Who is giving testimony? God is. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Incomplete sentence, but we're going to stop reading there. One more scripture. 1 Kings 15, verse 5. First Kings 15, verse 5. I'm going to start back in verse 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite. You know, when I read these passages and then came and read this passage in 1 Kings, the testimony of a man who lived life, to hear recorded in Scripture the testimony, how does it say? Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. That's really profound. That's profound. And I hope we can, in the next moments here, stir our hearts. We've already been admonished to have courage. Courage in the day where we live. We are not here by accident. We are here in this life by divine appointment. Our days are numbered. We know not our days. But Scripture teaches us that our life is as a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. And is it Job or is it the psalmist that says about one who has passed off the scene that his place is not remembered anymore? I heard a preacher that I was listening to online just the other day, and he said this, and perhaps it's good for us to keep this in perspective. He said that the monks, those who live a monk life, hold sometimes a skull in their hand, the skull of a human being. And they ponder, which could feel a little bit like a dark picture. But here's what they're doing. They're pondering the brevity of life. And that it will not be a long time until we are where this skull is. And then this man said this, this preacher, he said, strong men get old. Old men die. Strong men can die. I believe it is important for us to have within our hearts that today, the very life I have, the very life I live, is a gift from my Heavenly Father. Today is a gift. And so as I unwrap this gift of today, the present, I need God's direction, His pouring into my heart to live it so that when I come to the end of life, that my Heavenly Father will have the testimony of my life that here's a man who did everything according to how I commanded him and didn't turn from it to the left hand or to the right hand. Just like David. I believe, if I search correctly, David is the only man recorded in Scripture who is given this term, a man after my own heart. And yet, we enumerated some of the things of David's life, yes. And I read through some of that, some of his life, just in preparation for this. And I preached out of Psalm 103 this past Sunday, and I read through it for that. And I'm like, when I came to the story of Uriah the Hittite, and it just boggled my mind almost, the things that David went through to try to cover up what he had done. And yet God called him a man after his own heart. But then I had to go to Psalm 51. And I had to look at what came out of that in David's life and what God saw. And one of the things for us as men that is so easy to happen is for us to allow the incidents of life. I don't know a lot of you. I know some of your faces. I go to church with some of you. But there are things in our lives that have happened. Some good and some not so good. The tendency for us as men is to allow those things to define us. But I want to encourage us today to allow our life to be defined by God and His will, His path for our life. So the question comes to us today, and I'm going to ask you, what captivates your heart? You don't have to answer. Just ponder. What captivates your heart? Have you ever asked your wife? Honey, just look her in the eyes. Go home and ask her. What captivates, from your perspective, you living with me, you're the closest one to my heart. What would you say captivates my heart? Have you ever asked your sons? Son, what captivates my heart? Ask your daughters. Ask your brothers. Ask God to show you what is captivating my heart. In an audience like this, there's a very real possibility that there are some things captivating our hearts that actually should not be. The New Living Translation says for Acts 13, verse 22, where Paul is referencing back to David. I'll just read it in the New Living Translation. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. There's another man in Scripture who comes to my mind when I think of a man who followed the call of God. There are many. Scripture is filled with beautiful testimonies of those who have gone before. But there's another one who comes to my mind, and it is Brother Enoch. Why? What is the testimony of Enoch? He walked with God. And he was not. Why? God took him. Can you imagine the clan in Enoch's home? Hey, Dad, did you see Enoch? Where's Enoch? I don't know. I mean, last time I saw him, he was walking down the path. Hey, Uncle Joe, have you seen Enoch? Grandpa Enoch, where's Enoch? I don't know how it went down. But Enoch had this testimony that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. What a blessed testimony. Wouldn't that be something if our walk with the Lord was just so close after His heart, just pulsating after the heart of God, where we feel the very heart of God pulsating within us, and God says, you know, you're just closer to me than you are to those people on the earth. I'm just going to take you home. Painful here. But what a blessed reward for having walked with God, for being a man after God's own heart. So I looked up this word after. What does it mean to be after something? Be interesting to hear your definitions. Maybe we should. What does it mean to be after? He had this testimony that he was a man after God's own heart. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? I'd like some response. God was first place, he was second. He followed. Anything else?
He desired what God desired.
He followed closely. You know, that's the challenge about walking with God. Sometimes in our life as men, I'm going to run out of time before I get through these notes, and that's okay. One of the things that we men, I don't know, is it a problem or not? I think for my life, sometimes it's a problem, is that we are result-oriented. You like results? Yeah, some of you are honest. The rest of you are probably with us too. Yeah, we like results. And so we try to bring about results. And sometimes in doing that, what we find in our life, in our walk with God, is that instead of walking with God, sometimes we want to run ahead a little bit. Or we're just lagging behind a little bit. And sometimes the pain of waiting patiently for the Lord is very difficult. But it is in those times when our heart becomes quiet that we find that we become joined with the heart of God. And that's what this word after means. It means to be joined with. To be joined with. So the idea carried here is God saying that he is looking on the earth, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose what?
Heart
is perfect toward him. Same thought concept. A heart that is joined to God. So the question for us is, how joined are you to God's heart? Do you understand the heart of God? Is God revealing himself to you? Just imagine, just wrap your mind around it, that this Creator God, who our brother said longs to have a relationship with each one of us, has the capacity for each one of us to be joined with him. That initial joining together comes through the salvation experience. To be born again into the family of God. Now, further on in this definition is also the idea, and it's the Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is cardia. Any idea where we get a word from that? Cardiology. Cardio. Heart. So God is saying, I want you to be joined to me at a heart level. Not up here, only on an intellectual mind level, but on a heart level. God is scanning the earth. He's looking. He's searching. Not necessarily perfect people, but people who are perfectly after him. Who share the same qualities that he found in David's life. Is your life today, is your life in harmony with God?
Is your life in harmony with God? Answer that between you and God. Ask God to show you. God, where is my life not in harmony with you? Where am I not walking in step with you? And then, oh Heavenly Father, give me the courage to get in line with you and to walk as you want me to walk. Help me to see what is important to you. Help me, Father, to see what burdens your heart. Help me, Father, when you say, go to the right, I go to the right. When you say, go to the left, is it the prophet Isaiah that says, somebody help me, Bible scholars, prophet Isaiah that says, you shall hear a voice behind you, and it shall say unto you, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's not some fantasy, beloved brethren, that God just kind of put out there in Scripture for us. That is the reality of what God wants with us, that we are willing to do just that. And where God calls upon our hearts for us to change, to be transformed. This whole thing is a transformation experience. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. And I trust if I would ask you today, are you a work in progress in God's eyes? I trust every hand would shoot up and say, that's me. I thank God I'm not where I was, but I know I'm not yet where God wants me. But I can testify today that God is still working on me. Another thing that we men are really good at doing is compartmentalizing. I think I said that word right, right? Compartmentalizing. Look at these little boxes. This is my work box, and this is my home box, and this is my church box. This is my church room, my home room, my private room, my nobody knows room. I would never tell anybody about this room. Oh, there'd be way too much shame to let this out of my life. So we kind of close that door and we get that sweeper, that broom, and we pick up the rug and we call it sweeping it under the rug. You know what God is looking for? Men who are just willing to open every room. Jesus says an interesting thing. It's over in the book of John. And I can't pull it fully to mind right now. But is it Luke? He says, having no part dark. Having no part dark. He's talking about the light that is within us. And so I want to encourage us today as being men after God's own heart that every compartment of our life, if you are compartmentalized, that every corridor, every room, every closet, everything, every thought, everything, that we come to the point in our personal lives where God is already. What is it about you that God does not know? And there's a blessed experience when we come to the point in our life and we ask God, just show me myself as you see me. Show me my heart as you, O Heavenly Father, see me. And we have the courage to pick up the rugs. We have the courage to open the doors. We have the courage to give the key of our heart to God and say, unlock it. And we have the courage to just face the shame, perhaps ridicule from some,
but the freedom that comes when we give the whole of our life and heart to God as we walk with Him. For David had this testimony that he was a man after God's own heart. And yet David failed. David knew what it was to be on that roof and see that beautiful woman. And he went through all that in his life, and we talked about it. We know the outcome. And it took somebody to come to David, a prophet, and gave him a story. He gave him a parable. He gave him a story. And David said, whoever that man was, he needs to die. Nathan said, David, you're the man. You're the man. And David came back to God. We need men today who you care deeply about the motivations behind our actions. Something is motivating us today, brothers. Something motivates you in your life. And I trust that God is working in our hearts. Your very presence here today blesses my heart. Not because Ed is preaching, not because John Harold shared what he did, not because I'm sharing this topic, but because it shows to me that there's a thirst and a longing for God in your life. And I pray to God that we cannot leave this place the same people we came in. God is not looking for magnificent specimens of humanity. He's looking for deeply spiritual, genuine, humble, honest to the core servants of His who have integrity in life. What is integrity? I'm not even going to, well, the Hebrew word for that is thamam, translated integrity. And it has this idea: to be complete, whole, innocent, having the simplicity of life, wholesome, sound, and unimpaired. We all here this afternoon look like we have pretty good functionality. At least what we can see on the outside. I mean, there's nobody walking around here like that. Maybe there's some heart issues here. I don't know. Perhaps there's been some open heart. Yeah, there's been an open heart surgery. I know one who had open heart surgery. Perhaps there's been more. God is looking for men today who are willing to come to Him in repentance, in contrition, and lay their lives out before Him and those around us, to bring us to the point of wholesomeness so that in our spiritual walk with God, we're not walking around impaired and not functioning and fully functional as He wants us to be as men. Men in our lives. Our world today is obsessed by impressions. Obsessed by impressions. We have a marketing team we work with, and they talk about impressions. This has to do with online stuff, and the stuff is way beyond me. Some of those algorithms and things that they explain to us, and it's like, and you don't have to wait long until you begin to discover that a lot of our world today is really obsessed with what people think about them. As men of God, I want us to, I don't know if the right term is even to use for this, is to be obsessed with, to be consumed with what is God's view of my heart. You can't fake it with Almighty. He's not even that impressed with externals. They're important. He cares. But God focuses on the inward qualities, the character of the heart. When God reaches the heart of a man, a woman for that matter, and God truly begins to do his work in our hearts, through the failures, through the things we've been through the difficult things, and we open our heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, there is a beautiful transformational change that begins to happen from the inside out. When our heart is after God's heart, there are some things that just will become very apparent to us. I had a young man just last week, I believe it was, who came to my office. He wanted to talk, and he sat across the desk from me there, and he just poured out his heart. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't all pretty. In fact, it was a little bit ugly. But he had a desire. He had a desire after God. And I just told him, I blessed him for sharing what he did. But I pointed him to hope. And I asked him this question. And I'm going to ask you this question. Is it more important to please God or to trust God? I don't know how you would answer that. I preached that one time. While you're pondering that, well, they're both important. But I preached that one time, and God took me through a very deep test in my life. Right on the heels of that. Because I believe, beloved, according to Hebrews, as important as it is for us to live a life that is pleasing to God, sometimes when we live with that passion in our heart, I just want to please God in everything I do. Sometimes we begin to do things that we think please God instead of living in a faith and trust relationship with God, where, as it were, we let ourselves right down into the arms of God. And I say, God, this situation is so difficult, I don't even know which way to turn, but God, help me, I trust you. And we rest there till God moves. And out of that comes a life that will be pleasing to God. Why do I believe that? Because of Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If I can impress on our hearts this afternoon, men, that we leave this place and we go home and our families say, he's just after God. He has a heart after God. David loved God's law. He had absolute faith in God. We could look at scripture after scripture. But I want to give us a verse, some verses from Proverbs 4 yet. And we're going to wrap this up just shortly here. Where they encourage us in our life to live very carefully and with a guarded heart. Probably one of the things in our life, and it's been alluded to already, is sometimes the things that come to us kind of gradually in the process of time seem kind of innocent sometimes. Whereas sometimes when there's something that's like big, bold, and wrong, it's like, oh, no, 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 no. I cannot go there. But there are other things that for us as men, with how God has made us, and I told this young man who sat across from my desk, I said, I thank God that he made you the way he made you. And he made you the way he made you for a purpose. But I said, please seek that purpose in your life and stop at nothing to find it. Proverbs 4, 23 to 27. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And that word keep has the idea to guard, to maintain, to protect. To protect from a besieged or hidden thing. That's the Hebrew definition. Oh, I'm telling you, beloved, there are things today that our enemy, Satan, we're walking in it. We're not home. We're not home yet. We're just passing through here, beloved. We seek a better country. We don't even have a citizenship from the United States of America. This place, well, anyway, we're not home yet. And there are so many things, beloved, that our enemy, the devil, has craftily, he's a deceiver. And he makes us believe that I can do this thing in my heart, I can do this thing in my life, and I'm okay, I can handle it. There's not that bad consequences. No, I know when to stop. I know how much of this I can do. Proverbs says, keep thy heart, guard it from the thing that would besiege you, from the hidden thing that would keep you from being one, what God wants you to be. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Expend your energies. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Having a heart after God is having a heart that is hotly pursuing the will of God. I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit yet and his work in our heart. If we have not the Holy Spirit, Scripture tells us, we are none of his. We are none of his. John gives a beautiful picture over in John chapter 3. I'm just going to turn there. John chapter 3. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born of water and of the Spirit, Spirit, capital S. Did you notice back there in Samuel where it says that when Samuel anointed David, the Spirit came upon him, capital S. David had the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. Jesus said, marvel not that I say it. Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our inner man is converted to Christ Jesus. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he's telling here Nicodemus, ye must be born again. One of the musts in Scripture. Then he says an interesting verse here. I love this verse. Jesus says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the capital S Spirit. That's an interesting verse. My, it's windy. Not now. Sometimes we say that. Why do we say that? Because we see the effect of the wind. About 7 years ago, on our 25th anniversary, we went to the New England states and we stopped at three different places kind of up along the New England states. Started in Maine, Bar Harbor, Maine, came down through. We came to one place where we stayed right on the harbor. And our bed and breakfast was looking out over the cove that came in there. And right outside our bed and breakfast were these, is it schooners or schooners? Schooners. You know what I mean? Big old wooden sailboat. Big long thing. And my wife and I looked out at these and we were like, hey, they give rides. And we looked at each other and said, you want to take a ride? My wife said, I'd love to. I said, sounds great. We went out and I got us booked for the next day. And we got out, had some jackets on. It was October. It was chilly. We got out on that sailboat. And we just kind of potsed and slowly went out through the harbor until we got to the open water. And our captain set the sail. And that vessel kind of went over on its side. It was almost on a 45 degree, and where we were sitting there on these benches that were there, and our feet were propped against the wooden rail that was at the edge of this boat, and we began to feel the wind in our face. And it was thrilling. I looked at my wife, and she was just grinning, and she looked at me, and I was grinning, and we were just loving the ride. And I thought of what Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. We know a little bit in our spiritual life where we've come from and where we want to go. But I'm telling you what, beloved, when the Spirit of God leads us in our heart and life and we set our sail to catch it, sometimes we better be careful because the ride might be a little thrilling. But God knows what he's doing. And the effect in our life, beloved men, will be seen. May God help us as we go from this place to remember God has placed us where he has for a purpose. Let's remember that God is redeeming us from whatever culture we come from. God is redeeming us to himself, to make unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Let us remember, beloved brethren, to have courage. Courage for the low times in our life, and courage as we crest those vistas where God brings us to. I just thank God for bringing me through the valley. And let us follow him. Have hearts of courage to follow him. To let the effect of his heart to be seen in our heart as we move about from day to day. May God bless each one of you to that end.